There's a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live at the Yellow Dragon Drill podcast. This is your host, Igor, and as always with me is my co-host, Niksha. Say hi, Niksha.
That's me, it's
Niksha. Niksha, you doing good?
Yeah,
What has been happening in your life recently?
Nothing, pretty much. Work and work-related stuff.
Wanna open the 99th Commander of the Week? Because this is episode... This is the Commander episode. This is 99.
This is the 99. So, can't really, because I haven't played Commander.
We did play day before the beta. Were playing your Birdman, and you actually crushed us.
I really can't remember. I do remember one thing, actually. Yeah. I remember using Icy Manipulator to win the game. Well, not really winning the game, but making our friend Zord player really, really sad.
Did you make Mate salty?
I did.
You won the game. Congrats.
I did. I mean, I made him really so.
Hi, Mate.
So he played, what's it called?
Zer.
He drew most of his deck.
Mm-hmm.
He played, Scepter, Isochron Scepter, and I said, okay, it resolves. Imprint on the stack. I tap it with Isochron Scepter, with Icy Manipulate.
Huh.
And he's like,
huh.
Yeah. So, I kind of fizzled him.
That, Mate keeps on being crushed by random stupid cards we play.
Oh, I mean, that's what random stupid cards do. They just sometimes work, and when they work, people get a bit salty.
Not people, Mate.
So yeah, Icy Manipulator, it's the hidden gem of EDH.
You've been saying that for like months.
Yeah, because it stops random combos like that. It stops... Well, random combos like that. It also stops Trinispheres. It also stops Winter Orbs. You know, the
it
good stuff.
It stops fun, is what I'm hearing. It stops fun.
Oh, it makes...
I'm hearing stacks pieces being stopped. That's not fun.
So yeah, So I guess my Commander of the Week is... Car!
A car!
So yeah, that's all I had to say about that. How about you, Igor?
I'll split it two ways. First, I added a bunch of cards to Alesha. A Dampening Spear, speaking of spears. But this one doesn't get stopped by you tapping it. I found an old art Ghost Quarters. I put that in the deck to make it more old-timey. Promo version of a Braid, because it looks much more fancier. Shiny Talisman of Hierarchy, because I need more mana.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got Gamble again. And now a couple spicy ones. Meltdown, which is just a good removal spell. And I managed to blow Tess out with it one time. I'll talk about that a bit later. And then Citadel of Pain and Price of Glory.
Pain.
Three mana basically do nothing enchantments until they do something. I still didn't get to play Price of Glory. That sucks. But I did manage to play Citadel of Pain against Andrew, who was playing his Spell Slinger, Mizzix.
So was it painful?
It actually shaped his turns much differently than he would have liked. And what I discovered with the card, you actually gain a bit of bluffing power, because on like one or two turns, I was like, I'll keep two lands untapped. I get two damage. And then people are like, what's he doing? Most likely it's nothing, but he could screw me up at something. Like one or two turns, it was nothing, and one turn I actually had a thing.
The power of deception.
Yeah, basically. So I like the effect of the card. And it's here just to screw with the blue players, so screw those guys. We were playing a four-man game, and we had the McDonald's deliver food to us. We were playing. Tess played Possibility Storm. I had, I think, Servant Sanity out, and Andro had Lieutenant from Maze's End, the guy who copies spells from top of the library. Basically, Andro was in a super position. And then Danny and Tess look at each other like, we're hungry, screw this game. They scoop up. I look at Andrew. Oh, so Andrew, we were all scooping. He's like, I'm not scooping, you can scoop. I'm like, okay, fuck you then. We're playing this game. Game went for 20 more minutes. I was on the aggressive side, but he started, you know, doing the stupid Melek, yeah, it's Melek, Melek things. And then perfectly at top deck, a Cataclysm. I cast that, I keep couple of stacks, just kept smacking and killed him with that. I was like, victory, because he didn't want to scoop. the price for my victory was, you know, cold burgers and fries. Worth it.
Worth it.
Super worth it. That was a fun game. And second part, we actually printed out Tessa's Kalia deck. We played with it and we added a couple of more things. We removed a couple of random stack things and put following things. Kikijiki, Zealous Conscripts,
okay.
Restoration Angel.
Well, I hear Kikijiki and Conscripts and Angel, and that I think I get one.
But then we have other three cards. Angel of Despair, just because it's a good card, and it works well with Kikijiki. But also, Goad Abandoned Warlord and Helm of the Host. And keep in mind that Aurelia is already in the deck.
So instead of just, you know, stacking people, you just win the game instead.
There's still a bunch of stacks pieces, but we discovered, you know, the deck just stacks and it takes it a long while to actually win the game. Even through all the stacks and you having beaters. So we sat down and we were discussing what could we actually add to speed up the game. And these were the things we came to.
Mm-hmm.
Your opinions?
I mean, speeding up, you know, having a stacksy deck that can actually win the game is always better than not doing anything. With
yeah.
Your stacks.
Plus, all those cards are good on their own, because Golduck can either get the Helm or get Lightning, which is good. Kikijiki is really good with all the stupid big dudes you're putting into play.
Helm of the Host is also good with all the big stupid dudes.
Even if they're legendary.
And, you know, yoinking random Planeswalkers is always decent with Conscripts.
You know how Tess won one game? I play Kikijiki, and I'm like, okay, I'll start valuing Kikijiki out. She casts Zealous Conscripts. I was like,
Oh.
Well, because there's a couple of us playing Kikijiki in our playgroup, so she can actually yoink that guy perfectly.
That's pretty deep.
But that was my commanders of the week, I guess. Do we have something big to talk about, right?
Well, speaking of commander of the week,
yep.
Last week and this week's big because we got the Commander 2019 spoiler.
Hooray!
We got all the face commanders.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of cards from the Sultai deck. So, for starters, the four colors are Sultai Morph. We got Jeskai for Flashback, Rakdos for Madness, and Naya for Popular.
So we basically guessed 3 out of 4. Mm-hmm. And we were hinting that Sultai Morph could be a thing, but we weren't sure.
Yeah, but, you know, it's pretty much what we could have expected.
Mm-hmm. Want to talk about commanders themselves?
So yeah, let's start with the commanders. Pick one, Igor.
We'll talk commander and the card that's connected to, because each of them have a signature spell. And I like that, because that's the thing they started doing with War of the Spark. Each Planeswalker had the signature spells, and this actually is cool. Let's start with the morph one. Kadena, Slinking Sorcerer. One and a Sultai. It's a 3-3 legendary Naga Wizard. The first face-down creature spell you cast each turn costs 3 generic less to cast. Whenever a face-down creature enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. And the connecting spell is Kadena Silencer. 1 and a blue, it's a 2-1 Naga Wizard. When Kadena Silencer is turned face-up, counter all abilities your opponents control. And Megamorph, 1 and a blue.
Why the Megamorph? I don't know, but what the...
You know why? Because Megamorph was a thing for the modern Tarkir. I was gonna say Sultai, but they weren't really Sultai.
Oh yeah, Megamorph was a... Yeah, and she's
in
from...
In Fatal Forge.
And Kadena is from Tarkir, so yeah, okay.
Yeah. That makes... Actually...
It makes all this.
How do you like this?
Well, the part where it says draw a card, I'm okay with.
Really?
That's the part I really like. But the first phase down creature spell you cast each turn costs 3 less to cast. I mean, you get one morph guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of okay. So I can imagine her being more of a control value commander
mm-hmm.
than anything else. Like, definitely not a combo commander.
Yeah.
Not an aggro commander. Just a controlish value, like,
which makes sense for Sultai, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it makes more for Abzan, okay.
Just pure control and nothing actually aggressive is more of in Sultai's
game. Abzan is more mid.
Yeah. Many years ago made a mono blue morph deck with Big Teferi Planeswalker as a commander, and it was fun and it featured pickles and things like that, so I'm just gonna rebuild most of it with Cadena, I think. That's gonna be my casual deck, because God knows I need one.
Yeah, I mean, she works very well with anything that gives creatures flesh, so the new Vivian, not the...
The War
Vivian. The War of the Spark Vivian, with Teferi, with... the enchantment thing, the Leyline of Anticipation.
Seedborn Muse, maybe? That's being printed in the set?
Yeah, Seedborn Muse plus Alchemist's Refuge.
Yep.
But all in all, I think that if you're gonna do a dedicated Morph deck, you're better off playing with Anima.
If you're gonna go build a good Morph deck, yes.
I mean, if you're gonna go with Candena, then just don't put all the Morphs in it.
Oh,
just like
so.
When you're playing... If you're playing, what's her face? Yuriko?
Yeah, you don't put all the ninjas.
Don't put all the ninjas. I mean, you could, but you can also ignore the couple of ninjas that are horribly bad and just play the good one.
Take the horrible ninja we're going to play and put a Changing Outcast. They're fixed.
I mean, you play the Changing Outcast anyway, but you put a Tormented Soul.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that. Because, and the one ninja in particular I mention as horribly unplayable and garbage is the one that lets you see an opponent's hand.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Can return a creature to your...
In defense of that creature, have you seen the art of...
I had the ninja in foil, so yeah, I've
there
seen
you,
the art.
There you go. If you play that in foil, it's excused, it's fine.
I used to play it just because it was foil, but it... It just ruined more...
No, Niksha. You don't play it. You just keep it in your hand. It's perfectly safe and you can watch
I have to play it. Don't you know? When you have a spell, you should probably cast it. Just because you can cast a spell, it probably means you should cast it, right?
Are you playing Mono Red or...?
So I'm Cadena playable with a select few really good Morph cards. And
basically,
then...
Ixodron, Pickles and things like that.
Yeah, and then you abuse them by returning them to your hand with the thing, the Cloudstone Curio, or any other artifact or enchantment that bounces your creatures back to your hand. So yeah, just keep abusing the good morph cards, even if your opponent knows what morph you have, it's still there and they have to somehow get rid of it.
And since you have actually black in this one, you can play Greater Recursion. And that's actually, because your stupid 2-2s might die, and you're just like living dead them or something.
Oh yeah, let's not forget that kind of have Yarok in.
Oh yeah, you do.
That's also a pretty decent card.
Yarok is pretty decent, but you know... Oh yeah, you can draw 2 cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with this. I like Yarok. As soon as he drops from like 10 euros, I might get one. Well, in standard, play commander cards. Stop playing commander cards. God damn it. What's the next commander you want
to... let's go to Sevin the Chronoclasm. So Sevin is a 2 and Jeskai for a 2-2 human wizard.
I have a disagreement with that. It looks more like a Klingon than fine.
Also 5 mana for a 2-2. Kamigawa called. They want their horrible stats back.
It's really gonna die in combat, isn't it? You know, all the big things are gonna kill it.
Yeah. Except for the fact that prevent all damage that will be dealt to Sevin Chronoclasm.
Oh yeah!
And whenever you cast your first instant or sorcery spell from your graveyard, each copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy.
You know how good it's gonna feel to, you know, cast a Think Twice, and then Think Twice in somebody else's turn? I really love it.
You can also...
How many good flashback spells are there?
There are a pretty bunch of... There's a decent amount of good flashback cards.
In these colors.
I mean, in these colors you can just give your cards flashback.
Do we ignore white most of this?
Yes.
You know what makes me sad? That Sevin doesn't have green. Ancient Grudge. That would be...
Oh, and Sevin's Reclamation. Is a 2 and a white for a sorcery, return target permanent card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. If this spell was cast from a graveyard, you may copy this spell, and may choose a new target for the copy, and flashback for 4 and a white. So it copies itself on flashback, and then gets copied again with Sevin.
You can return many things with it. It's like a mini Sun Titan.
Well, when I first saw Sevin, I was like, Yeah, I'm not gonna use this as a flashback comment. Like, no. What I first thought was, do you know what costs 3 or less and is really good to keep getting back on Pariah?
Ooh. Ooh, spicy.
So, you see, this first line of text is all I care about?
Mm-hmm.
Because Tromana doesn't have enough colors.
Nick, also, isn't there a card that enables you to get your flashback cards from your exile to your hand?
There probably is, but I don't know it, like, at the top of...
I'm trying to think of it. It's from the Innistrad set. I'm searching for it. You just keep on talking.
I know that there's pull from reality.
Mystic Retrieval.
Oh, Mystic.
Return target instant sorcery card from your graveyard to your hand. Oh, no, that's a different one. Sorry. Carry on, I'm still searching.
So, what I'm looking at when building Sivin, I'm looking for the ultimate unkillable build. So, just get... So, for Pariah is just the starting. You also... Pariah is...
Mm-hmm, of course.
And then let's keep on figuring out how to be, well, immortal. So we...
Lightning Greaves?
Yeah, Lightning Greaves do come in handy to give...
Because spot removal is going to kill you.
Yeah, protection from spot removal. So we also have Dark Steel Plate, so it doesn't mm-hmm. get destroyed. There is nothing that can save her from exile. But, you know, that's what blue comes in. And mm-hmm. you counter those spells.
Hooray!
Then you need some protection, additional protection for Eula in the form of Hex Witchbane Orb or Orbs Layla? Of Hexbane Witchbane something.
Witchbane
also,
orb?
Orbs of Warding. There's also Urza's Power Battle Armor. I think it's not called Power Battle Armor, but it's Urza's definite. Power Armor.
Urza's Power Armor Mark 3.
Yeah. And. You know, you can just keep on piling stuff that protects you. Oh, Set's Tiger. How could I...
Probably better known as Sephiroth.
It's actually Sets.
It's Sets. In the case you're wondering, the card is called Runic Repetition. Return target exile card with flashback you own to your hand.
Does it have flashback?
You have Snapcaster mate.
Well, let's hope there's a Snapcaster deck.
There won't be. You know what's a good card to get back with Sevian? Deep Anal, aka Deep Analysis. No, but do you see how much value there is?
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's 4 cards for 2 life and 3 mana. For 2 mana and 3 life. That's a lot of cards.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to... I'm probably not gonna build it, because...
You will not. You always say you'll build these stupid things, and then you never do, because like, I built another good deck.
No. It's not the part where I build a good deck, it's the part where I have to acquire these cards, and I don't feel like ordering.
Have some part of the deck.
And the people that actually have cards to trade don't have that kind of jank I need.
I have some of them.
Like, you can use Form of the Dragon after you become unkillable, and then you use Form of the Dragon to kill people.
I have Form of the Dragon, multiple cards.
There's a lot more to make the ultimate player Voltron deck. But Sevin is like a good start. Also, mm-hmm. you can just play Divine Intervention as your, let's say, win. So that...
Make sure you know what you can get to play in this deck. Modern All-Star, Fateless Looting.
That's some...
Also, do you need a way to win the game? A Firecat Blitz. Do you remember that?
I mean, you can also just flashback Banefire for a lot of...
No, screw you. I'm listing all the janky cards.
No, Banefire. That's sod all off, you need.
Sod off you and actually good cards.
No, stop.
You know what's a card you actually cast? Increasing Vengeance.
Because it copied even more stuff?
Yes.
Doesn't
even
that
more.
Require like a gazillion mana?
It does. Do we care, Nixon?
No, you're unkillable.
There you go. Do we actually care?
Oh, you know what's another problem? Hmm? It's those pesky people that win the game by them losing the game, you know, with Labmen and such. So we need a way to stop that, too. We can't let... I mean...
That would be the funniest shit.
I mean, Icy Manipulator, obviously, I must include this deck.
For you, it's in every deck.
Not really, but okay. So, we need more ways to make us unkillable, so I'm guessing this is gonna be a deck tech in a future episode.
Mm-hmm.
Just the ultimate player Voltron build. And yes, the second part of Sevin's ability, we just don't care that much.
Some people don't, some people do. Some people are Nyxia and some people are in the right.
So, now that we talked about Sevin enough, what's the next command?
Let's talk about the one I'm less interested in, and Tess is actually hyped up. And if Tess is hyped up about this one, you must be liking it a bit. Gired, Conclave Exile.
You
to Ananiya. Yeah, Girad.
Girath.
Girad. It's a dude. He has rhinos. He's a badass. Legendary creature, human shaman. It's a 2/5, so he has a big button. He cannot lie. When he enters the battlefield, create a 4/4 green rhino creature token with trample. Whenever he attacks, populate. The token enters the battlefield tapped and attacking.
So he's
He's simple and straightforward.
Yeah, a 5 mana for a 6/9 is kind of okay.
Yeah. Plus, there's a bunch of things you can...
5 mana for a 6/9. Like, wow.
Niksha, what's the spell that he has with him? Girad's Belligerence for an red.
Oh, yeah.
Sorcery. Girad's Belligerence deals X damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures. Whenever a creature dealt damage this way dies, populate.
Oh, dies this turn.
Dies this turn, yeah.
Well, this card I'm like unsure of. Like, you need a lot of mana to make it have an immediate impact. Otherwise, you're just pinging stuff and hoping they will die in combat.
In our pods, you will pay like 3 mana for X and kill 3 dorks and populate. Like, let's say if you populate just the 4/4 like 3 times. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. Plus, you know what's a card you should be playing in your Girad deck and might be in the deck, but we don't know yet? Mimikvat.
No, I'm pretty sure that there'll be the Advent of the Worm inside.
I'm okay with that, on.
Anyone.
I'm okay with it. But when you actually start tuning your deck, maybe you should be putting Mimikvat in.
Mimikvat is okay with popular.
Yeah.
Especially since you're not playing any... since you're not playing really that good of colors, you can hope your opponent plays like a Zagana, you kill it, you get it under Mimikvat, and then... And Seance.
You know what's also a card that creates tokens? Kiki Jiki is a card that creates tokens.
Kiki Jiki is definitely a card that creates tokens.
You don't even have to play him in a combo aspect, which you should, first of all.
Well, you can just use him for
yes,
value.
Yeah, you can.
Because the populate token doesn't.
Yep. This guy, even though he's straightforward, I find him actually even a bit more interesting than Savine. Because he's a bit more open-ended. Even though he's straightforward, he's a bit more open-ended.
Yeah, I have my doubts about that, but okay.
This seems like the most new card of all the commanders.
Why? I mean, if the deck doesn't have any worms, I'm going to be disappointed slightly.
If it doesn't have any worms, you add a couple.
Yeah, but I want new worms.
Honestly, this could be your worm command. Ignoring that he creates a rhino, this could be your worm command.
Nah.
Because there is a bunch of cards that actually create worm tokens.
Yeah, no. let's just skip that part where...
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, making a tapped and attacking token, that's quite aggressive.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Especially when he starts making a desolation.
Yeah.
That's like 10-10 tapped and attacking. Okay, sure.
I guess I'll do it. What's the last commander we have?
The last commander is Anjay Falkenrath. For one black red, it's a legendary creature vampire, 1/3 with haste, and tap, discard a card, draw a card. Whenever you discard a card, if it has madness, untap Anja Falkenrath.
Why Anja?
I don't know.
It's Anya. Just it's like Anya. Anya, the creation name.
You know that they're gonna pronounce it like that.
Fun fact about Anya, we actually know him from earlier because she was referenced in many flavor texts on Innistrad. She's the insane vampire. Obviously.
Obviously. She's mad.
This is actually really good.
Yeah.
But really good, I mean, it's good.
Also, Anya's Ravager. 2 and a red for a 3/3 Vampire Berserker. It attacks each combat if able. And whenever Anya's Ravager attacks, discard your hand, then draw 3 cards.
I'm okay with this.
And it has Madness for 1 and a red.
Madness is gravy. But him discarding your entire hand is actually... And then drawing 2 cards.
So... Anya, because I actually built her in quite a number of ways.
You can start with Reanimator.
I mean, that's the easy. Obvious one to start with is Madness, but okay, let's start with Reanimator.
The thing is, currently there's no that many good Madness cards to actually build deck around. So Reanimator kind of gives itself credit because, you know, discard a card immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the best part of Anya. It has haste and looting.
What are the odds of us actually seeing Sire of Insanity in this deck?
None.
And if there isn't, you should actually put Sire of Insanity in this deck.
You should put Sire of Insanity in any deck that has red and black. pretty much.
Yeah, but here the synergy is actually...
It's cool. Like, looting is really cool.
This is rummaging, but yeah.
Rummage, yeah. Discard first, then draw.
I like haste, Anya.
I like haste on any commander that has that.
Yes, yes.
Like, it's really good that they put in haste, because if this didn't have haste, even if it cost 2 mana, it would be borderline unplayable. Like, I think it would actually just straight up be unplayable.
Because you're already playing a less powered strategy from the get-go.
I mean, yeah, you're in red and you have haste, but...
Let's not spend cards on that.
Yeah.
Especially in a Madden's deck, let's not spend cards on that.
So those are the face cards.
Mm-hmm.
We never commented on Cadena Silencer Silence countering all abilities.
Yeah, we forgot that. This can do so many things, even though I'm sad it's not, all spells. Would be a bit strong if it countered all spells your opponents control.
Yeah, it's kind of,
You were complaining about, Lab Maniac wins.
Yeah, but is Lab Maniac's ability actually an ability? It's just isn't it a replacement effect?
I'm not sure. You're the judge here.
I think it's just a replacement effect, so you can't actually counter.
Then you counter the imprint? Oh yeah, you counter the imprint on
The imprint and things like that, but most of the time you're just gonna counter one ability.
Yeah.
But that's fine, I guess. I mean, you're getting a 3-2 out of it.
Yeah.
And honestly, since it's going to cost 0 to cast, probably? Question?
Maybe.
Sure, but, there's that thing that counters non-creature spells that's actually kind of better.
Yeah. Well, anywho, that was the August 1st.
Also, Seedborn Mew.
We have did. Mentioned. Now, August 2nd has a couple of spicy ones.
Like, all three are spicy ones.
Which one do you want to start with?
So, let's start with a very simple one. It's a Leadership Vacuum.
Oh, yeah.
For 2 in a blue, instant. Target player returns each commander they control from the battlefield to the command zone. Draw a card.
Like, what's on the art?
It's Uriel holding on to the ground and he's just getting vacuum.
My first question was, is this 2014? What's an Uriel?
Don't you underestimate Uriel. Back in my day, Uriel was a terror.
Niksha, but what I said in our CDH group on Facebook, I've been playing since like 2012 or 13. I have never seen Uriel.
It, just because I haven't gotten my hands on the Uriel doesn't mean I'm not at some point. I mean,
of course.
It was. Imagine if it wasn't Uriel. Imagine it was like Palladium Morse. I would actually be kind of...
But yeah, this is a strong card. It's not, a game breaker. It's strong.
Oh yeah, and was Uriel really a leader at leader?
No.
Because it's a bit out of flavor to do something like that, but okay. Alright, yeah. I mean, I see what they did there, but, a commander that has hexproof, so... Mm-hmm.
I think the art is because of that, and flavor text is just because, they share basically the same plane.
Well, at least one fifth of them.
Oh no, now it's all connected. So.
This card is a problem for Savine, but luckily you're going to have hexproof at some point, you as a player, or Shroud, True Believer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's an interesting card just because of the draw card part.
Mm-hmm. And you can use this to save your commanders, if need be.
And it bounces back both partners.
Yep. Screw you, partners.
Haha, take that. Spoiler alert, they're not gonna care.
They will not if they're playing... I mean, if they're playing something like Team Natana, they actually might. But if they're playing something like the Fishboy and Team Night, yeah, they...
But it's a decent card with a good effect.
Yes.
Definitely playable.
And it cantrips, so it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have problems with actually people having their strong commanders out, this is one way to handle it.
If you have a problem with people having their hexproof command.
Mm-hmm. This is great against Screw Sigarda, holy fuck, I hate the bitch.
Except when Sigarda enters the battlefield and then there's the other Sigarda. Like, okay.
Yeah. Next time, let's talk about the land. Let's keep the creature for, the end. Sanctum of Eternity, land. Tap, add colorless to your mana pool, nice. 2, add a tap, return target commander you own from the battlefield to your hand. Activate this ability only during your turn. I first, when I read this card, supposed it said, 2, tap and a sacrifice. Because of course it does that. And then it turns out, oh no, it just taps. Oh my god. You basically pay 2x 3 extra for your commander.
It's an arcane laboratory.
Why?
Not arcane.
Beacon?
The thing that bounces wizards.
Oh, yeah, Riptide.
Riptide laboratory.
Yeah. I mean, this kinda, if you don't have enough mana, costs you 3 mana in a turn to get your commander to play more cheaply. Which is okay. But if you play something like Zakama...
Then you're storming off. At 13
yep.
land.
Which is actually not... 13 lands, or, you know, a couple of lands, but they tap for more than one color.
You know, or, you know, you just have Mirari's Wake.
Yeah, which isn't actually that hard to achieve in dedicated Zakama deck.
Yeah, because Zakama's usually ramp pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. That and Food Chain.
Yeah, man, Zakama isn't really the best Food Chain.
It is not, but it's a fringe strategy that you can still play, and sure. It's a good spin-off on Food Chain.
And the deck is good at finding any land, so Sanctum of Eternity is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. You can have things like... what's the Scrying?
The Scrying what now?
The modern card.
Scrying Sheets?
No. The one that gets you in land. Simon Scrying.
Yeah.
Simon Scrying, the one mana green instant, Sacrifice the Land, get any land.
Crop Rotation?
Yeah.
There's also from Mirrodin the 4-mana. A 4-mana that either destroys a land or mm-hmm. fetches you a land.
Reap and Sow.
Reap and Sow, and it hasn't.
Expedition Map.
Golos.
Mm-hmm.
Because
actually, yes.
You can actually play Zakama in your Golos deck, and Golos just tutors one part of the combo, and all you have to do is tutor the second part, which is a creature, so, and is legendary, so you're not gonna have problems.
And you're playing 5 colors, so you can play actually all the tutors you want.
Or playing just 3 colors.
Whatever, and any of the two work. This is a good land for a bit more fringe strategies that need more access to their commander, but it's actually good.
It's just a shame that this is going to be in one.
Yeah. I would like if they printed things like this in actually old.
Yeah, I mean, it is a card that would be rare in a pack, but it really deserves to be a common included in all the decks because making it pauper legal doesn't do anything.
Yeah, good. You get your commander. Nice.
What's a commander?
Wanna talk about the last one?
Mm-hmm. So, Kirk, Son of Yavgmoth, probably Krik.
It's supposed to be Karik, because before he was using name of Karik while he was infiltrating Tolarian Academy. And then when it was discovered that he was a Phyrexian, he used the name of Karik, Son of Yagmut. And he's not the actual Son of Yagmut, by the way.
He's just the type.
Yeah. If you want to know the backstory of this guy, he infiltrated the Tolarian Academy. Joyra actually took him as a student, and then he later betrayed her and killed her. But you're like, but how? Because we actually have Joyra as, you know, way past later after that. Well, that's because remember when Teferi went into that time bubble and bullshit happened?
Mm-hmm.
There was the time back. So okay. There you go. But anywho, read the guy.
Actually, that sounds like a really good magic-themed high school show.
That ends up with a student killing teachers?
I said good.
Anywho, what does the thing
but
mean?
Time, you know, time reversal, so everything.
Hooray!
So, Son of Yavmoth, 4 and triple Phyrexian black.
What?
Oh yeah, they went back. So, the mechanic that everyone loves, and was definitely not a mechanic. So for 7 mana, it's a 2-2 horror mean with lifelink. Also 7 mana 2. For each black in a cost, you may pay 2 life rather than pay that mana. And whenever you cast a black spell, put a +1/+1 counter on Krik, Son of Yavgmoth.
I mean, 4 mana for a 2-2 is not bad.
4 mana and 6 life for a 2-2 is...
I know what I said, Nick.
But this part that turns your black mana into Phyrexian black mana? Now that seems busted.
That's strong? The question is, how strong is it actually? Because we all first jump and like, oh my god, this is strong, but when you think about it...
Yeah, how strong? Mm-hmm. No, I know, it's a Doomsday. For free.
Mm-hmm.
Doomsday that lets you go off, probably, if you have a draw. It makes your Bolas' Citadel cost 3.
Mm-hmm.
You probably don't want to be playing Necropotent. Because that's 6 less cards you can draw.
You can still play triple black. That's the thing. You can still play triple black and it's actually fine. Doesn't force you to do that.
But where Krik is actually amazing is with Vilis.
Mm-hmm.
That's just insane.
Strong.
Very strong.
But still, he is a 2-2 for bunch of men.
He does have life, but he's probably not gonna be...
He's a guy you want to reanimate, but he's a bit ouchy for reanimating. Mm. You can still get him with all the recruiters and get him back with Alesha.
Well, yeah, that's... And, you know, you can use him not for broken, just mana fix. You don't have to put black ever again.
Oh, yeah, everybody's just gonna be like, ooh, I'll use this guy fair and square.
Yeah, like, just like they used Paradox. So, yeah, Krik is definitely a better commander than Yavgmoth, Thran Physician.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has actually some clear-cut strategy able to... Other than that, yeah, if you're not playing like an exclusively black deck, he's pretty much...
He's fine.
He's exciting. Let's just put it at that. He's exciting, but he'll probably like die down after a while.
Everybody's super hyped to play him now, but after a while it's just gonna be like, yep.
He'll just like... somebody will play him at somebody's table and they're like, oh yeah, that's a... That thing.
Look at it this way, for the mana cost, would you rather play this or Vilis?
I'd definitely rather Vilis.
Guy looks cool, the art is actually bitching, but he's a bit of a too much of an edgelord for me, but you know.
Is it because of all the edges he has? Is it because he has so much sharp, pointy things at him?
He's that chaotic evil warlock that somebody plays as an OC in their D&D campaign, please don't copy. I am Magnus, the screaming Slayer of evil. World. No, Magnus, the screaming evil. I am evil because I'm misunderstood also, and things.
He totally looked...
He looked like...
Speaking of Chads...
The chattiest of all the Chads.
In August the 3rd.
I wish I had a vagina because it would be quivering by now when I see the art. Look at it, handsome, bashing man. I mean nothing. Next show, what happened on August 3rd?
Well, we got our main guy, our scarecrow, Scaretail Amju. So we got Gerard, Weatherlight Healer.
Hero.
Why don't you read the card while I go grab a glass of water?
Good. So, Gerard, Weatherlight Hero, 2 and a bonus. Legendary creature, human soldier, 3-3 with first strike. When Gerard, Weatherlight Hero dies, exile and return to the battlefield all artifacts and creature cards in your graveyard that were put from the battlefield this turn. Well, I've read a card and then I was silent so I can truncate the silence and this wouldn't actually be noticeable.
Okay. So, what do you think?
He's super interesting. You can either play X with him. You can actually go straight on Boros, Taxes, and Destruction. Because guess what? When he dies, and this is not the Child of Alara problem. You know, we have to get it to die and it needs to go to the graveyard. No, he will die. And then you can exile him back to your command zone. He does so many interesting... You can play Jokelhops with this guy and be like, I'll be fine.
you'll be...
Yeah. You just have enough artifact ramp and dudes and Jokelhops. And what did they do? You can obliterate. Actually, what are they going to do to your obliterate?
Well, nothing.
Yeah. And he has first strike. This is actually a really good way to approach Boros as a color combination. Because there's nothing that says with this guy, you have to attack.
Mm-hmm.
No, he deals with something that red and white do really good, and that's destroying things. And white has a good way of, you know, actually getting things back from the graveyard.
Yeah, it also returns only artifacts and creatures, which is very red and white.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, while I would love lands to come back...
You think they would actually encourage us to play MLD?
Yeah, why not?
Wizards would encourage us to play Mass Land Destruction.
I mean, they did print Second Sunrise, right?
They printed recently the stupid Tran card. The Fall of the Tran. That's what they think of Land Destruction.
Well, it does destroy a land for 6 mana. That's just 2 more mana than Armageddon.
And there is a couple of more caveats.
Nah, you're exiling those cards.
If you're doing them smartly, yeah, but...
Nah, it's fine.
So many hoops to jump through.
But yeah, like you said, eggs. Eggs is a really nice shell for Gerard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know what would make the deck really, really good?
What?
Paradox Engine.
What's that?
Thought.
So it sounds like a card that doesn't exist in Commander format.
It's a shame that Gerard won't. Unless they announce that Commander 2019 is Commander Modern legal.
Oof, that would be spicy, wouldn't it?
With Son of Yavgmoth, it would.
You can't push him.
Actually, with all of these oh my goodness gracious, Naya would be playable? I mean, it's 5 mana, but Naya would be playable?
And not many things kill a 2/5.
Also, Kadena is actually, like, a legit contender?
Anya could actually be a better modern card.
I doubt that. But, I mean, Sevin would definitely not be close
nope.
to modern.
Nope.
But her Reclamation...
Things where Sevin is being played, modern, not wonderful. A Reclamation, actually, things like Soul Sisters would play.
Mm-hmm. Because it has even late game.
But the things that these cards are actually not modern legal. Would be cool if Gerard would be modern legal, but, you know.
I mean, even if he were modern legal, he wouldn't be that good.
Nope.
I think. Well, we still have, like, Modern Horizons 2 to bring these cards to.
Hey!
Which I'm really hoping that they put, like, cards like Karador into Modern.
Oh, God.
Because make cabs an actually playable now that Rus is out.
I would love to.
A lot of.
I need to get myself a Karador.
I mean, just imagine if they put... I really want them to put a Monarch in Modern. Like,
ooh.
And what better way than with Queen Marchesa?
Palace Jailer would be completely fair in Modern.
Well, he would. He actually would, because there is, like, 2 decks that would play him.
And not just that, in Legacy it's much more difficult, because once the taxing deck gets, you know, steam and it actually gets to play the Palace Jailer, you're not getting the Monarchy.
Yeah, they're not attacking.
Yeah.
And they're probably not playing Palace Jailer themselves.
Yep.
So yeah, Palace Jailer is completely...
Mm-hmm. But where were we at? Oh yeah, you wanted to talk about the new Scarecrow? Nyxia got a Scarecrow, there's a Scarecrow Nyxia.
I mean, Scare Tiller is a 4-man Scarecrow, 1/4 when it enters the battle, destroy target permanent. And whenever Scare Tiller becomes tapped, choose 1. You may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped, or return target land card from your graveyard to
It does things?
Ramps when it's tapped.
Cast that, get into play, tap it with
Oh no. One of these decks is gonna be a tap, and it's not gonna be the Sultai one. But one of these commanders is definitely do some tapping. And I think it's Sevin.
Maybe?
It might be Sevin or it might be it's the deck where Gerard is, because it was spoiled at the same time as Gerard.
Oh.
And Gerard is in Sevin, right?
Maybe? Makes more sense than to be in Gearded.
So yeah, Sevin's gonna have some tapping creature shenanigans.
Yay? At least you get a new cheap Scarecrow.
It's not
mana-wise. No, I mean monetary-wise. It could be, you know, nickels and dimes.
But it's 4 mana.
Oh, no, I didn't mean mana cost.
Oh, yeah, by the way, it doesn't actually destroy a permanent.
It does, with certain Scarecrow in play.
Yeah, but it's like, it's a really cool card after you play Crop Rotate.
Oh, yeah!
Because you Crop Rotate and then you till.
Tilling is actually...
Oh yeah, what is this horrible Scarecrow? Look at the amount of birds. I mean, it's not really doing its job.
It's actually fighting against the Kyakar deck.
Well, but Kyakar doesn't make birds.
He is a bird and he's separated into like 6 birds.
No, he does.
He did.
Okay, fair enough.
Somebody played Hall of Mirror Gallery and then copied him like 6 times.
So all Scarecrow needs is a way to become untapped. And with blue guy, the guy that taps a blue creature for 2 mana.
Again, the Architect?
Yeah, Grand Architect. And with Grand Architect, you get all your lands. And with all your lands tapped, you absolutely...
Still, you get them into play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you see, Gerard, you blow up all the lands, you bring back the Scarecrow, and little by little, you're gonna get those lands back.
Hey!
Hey, that's the combo.
Go us.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, that was August 3rd.
I want to go to August 5th, start from the bottom, and then work our way up.
The bottom here,
Because that's the way the cards got spoiled today. These all got spoiled today, by the way.
Yeah.
Tell us what the first one does.
I don't know, it's in Russian. So it's 2 blue for 2 and 2 blue for an int with split second. Exchange control of target non-creature spell and target creature. You may choose new targets for the spell.
This is going to be so sick. So, I will take your ad nauseum, you can have my 1/1 Sapperling. Have fun with this one.
I'll have your ad nauseum. You can have my 1/1 spirit. Yeah, this goes right into Keycar because Keycar can't make tokens.
Yeah. Even better, somebody gives it the non-flying spirit from the Forbidden Orchard.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you can play this in any blue deck, because you can count that somebody at some point will give you a token.
At least in our meta.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I will give you a spirit. You give me this tutor. Thank you.
So, yeah, it's a really cool card.
Next shade becomes even stupider in more casual meta. I will give you this stupid 1/1 Dinklet token, or even better, 0/1. I'll take your Genesis Wave for 15.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ooh, I like this card even more now.
It's definitely a really good.
Or, you know, somebody has an Instructable Creature, another person casts a Wrath of God. You know what? I think this guy needs a Wrath of God, but this creature needs to go here. Nice. Mm-hmm. This is good. Everything's good. And it's an instant, because it has to be.
Because it has split second.
Yeah.
Isn't Volcanic Fallout a...
Volcanic Fallout doesn't have...
Wait. Oh, yeah. X and double red.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
But it has a kicker for red, if you pay mm-hmm. the kicker cost.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that a source?
I think it is, because it's an X burn spell. Usually you don't put those most of the time at instant.
X?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and... we have our first secondary commander.
I'm on mixed feeling about this one, but Rayami, First of the Fallen. One and Sultai for Legendary Vampire. It's a 5/4. If a non-token creature would die, exile that card with a blood counter on it instead. So it's immediately Graveyard Hate, and that's strong. As long as an exile creature card with the blood counter on it has flying, Rayami, First of the Fallen has flying. The same is true for First Strike, Double Strike, Dead Touch, Haste, Hexproof, Indestructible, Lifelink, Menace, Protection, Reach, Trample, and Vigilant.
Well, first of all, it's a green vampire.
That's weird.
That's super weird. And it doesn't get... I see a couple of keywords that are in effect, and that is actually the biggest one.
Why?
Well, because effect with this card kind of good.
Yeah. I think Wizards are being like, let's hide the thing that in fact actually happened. We've seen what happened in Modern.
Commander to exile a creature somehow with Infect. It's like, it's not easy, okay?
I'm more pointing at that they're kind of ashamed of Infect.
Embrace them.
They should do bullshit. But yeah, best card about this card is that it's Graveyard Hate.
Yeah, but you know, Anafenza is Graveyard Hate.
It's much better, Graveyard Hate. But this is basically... What's the name of that demon from Tarkir?
Soul.
This is Soul Frayer, but the legendary form.
It also can't get Shroud.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't get any kind of land.
Neither could the Flayer. Like, I mean, for a more modern card, you're not actually gonna get Landwalk or Shroud.
So this obviously screams...
Voltron-y?
Voltron, yeah.
Ish?
But then again, you have to invest in creatures that have a lot of keywords, or hope that your opponents have keywords. Otherwise, this card just falls flat and doesn't do anything. It's a 4-mana 5/4.
When we play the pre-release tournament, this is not going to be the commander I pick.
It's definitely going to be anyone's pick for commander.
And turns out it's actually the best one.
I mean, it's a 4-mana 5/4. That's going to beat some phases, but...
Honestly, a thing that's super easy to get, flying.
And trample.
And immediately with that, you're like, okay, for just, you know, pre-cons, I can maybe even win the game with this one. Because it's just a 5/4 flyer, screw you.
But still, it's just such a...
It's a mediocre card.
It's not even a weird card, it's just...
Yeah, it's mediocre.
Yeah, whatever. Moving on.
That's the best reaction.
Moving on.
We have Thespian Stage. Do we actually even need to talk about Thespian Stage as a reprint?
Well, they obviously reprinted Thespian Stage so that at least one other deck can have Sanctum for Eternity.
Hey!
We also have a Vegder Wiederkehr.
Just a second. Our common... a guy we know has posted on the Mythic spoiler about Thespian Stage. Valor reprints XD, and the following comment is, I hate your CDH player's guts, but this time on your side, this is laughable. I'm like, this is connecting us all together.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
The card is Vegde Davidekhe, aka mm-hmm. Way of the Return. What does it do, Nixon?
So, I'm not gonna... So it's a double green sorcery with choose one. Return a permanent card from your graveyard to your hand. or put your commander into your hand from the command zone, entwine two.
Strong, actually. It's an okay regrowth for some things,
Well, that's the thing. If it were a regrowth, I would be completely on board with this card.
This is for decks like the Gisha, whatever his name is. The guy you want, actually, to be casting a lot. Not a lot, but, you know, he's gonna die. You know he's gonna die. Most of the time, you'll be using, in that kind of deck, the second mode.
Oh, but, yeah, and your commander is a permanent, and was obviously made to reference your commander, but... Really, it could have just been. It's a rare for double green and a sorcerer. So, like.
By the way, I could easily read this in German.
I mean, I could too, but.
Maybe you have like a German listener who'd be like, ooh, hype, they read during German. This is my time to shine. 99 episodes in, this is my time to shine, he says. Or she, I don't know. Or they. I'm not judging. Hey, you've been listening to us for a while. I actually can't judge. I can only pity why you're doing this.
You can't judge. I'm a judge.
For the time being.
shut up. Okay.
This is a blow.
I mean, there is nothing really much else to say about the card. It's just
It's an okay card.
A semi-regrowth and... Okay. Next up.
Good thing to say about the Way of the Return. It's basically a command beacon for 2 mana.
But if we return...
It can, but basically that's what you're getting. That's what you get. Next is another Zedru card, right? So Pendant of Prosperity for 3 generic, it's an artifact. It enters the battlefield under the control of an opponent of your choice. That's interesting. And then for 2 and a tap, draw a card. Then you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. Pendant of Prosperity owner draws a card, then that player may put a land card from their hand onto the battlefield. Basically, this is the KNT.
Yup, only just for 2 players.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what's super interesting about this card? If you use a certain card to put it into play as a 2-2 morph, and Ooh. Then you turn it over, it doesn't go under anyone's control, and because then you pay 2 mana to draw 2 cards and put 2 land.
That's actually spicy, Niksha. I didn't think about that one. Ooh, this is a spicy one, Niksha. I'm happy with it. Ooh. I want to do this, but how could we actually put it into play?
Well, that's where Scroll of Fate comes into play. It's a 3 mana artifact. Tap, manifest a card from your hand. So, there you go.
That's actually... First of all, that's actually just a cool card for the Morph deck.
Oh, terribly sorry about that part, but you can't actually turn it face up.
Not normally, but there might be things that allow you to do that.
Yeah, if you flicker it, then... No, don't. If you flicker it, then they'll...
I'm pretty sure there's a janky comment from, like, Discourage that enables it.
There's Ixidor. Ixidor does it.
Yep.
So yeah, you can use Ixidor in the deck, because I'm pretty sure they're not gonna put it in the deck. They're just to, you know, not Spite. Put additional commanders.
Mm-hmm.
And... But, you know, you can put it face down, turn it face up with some effect, and you get to keep it. Or, you know, just use Brooding Saurian or
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or the land from some... It returns all permanents, right?
Yeah, yep.
So, yeah, you got ways. Or, you know, you play it in Zedru, for 3 mana, you give them a card.
Yeah, and then you give yourself a card and then more cards.
And whenever they use their ability, oh, look, more cards for me.
Hey! Speaking of Ixidor, there is Ixidron with new art. This one actually looks like an angry old man from the sea. Plus the morph.
Yeah, I like the old art better. It looks more menacing.
This one is also cool.
It looks like a giant crab thing.
Basic. I mean, all the morphs previously looked like giant clay crab things. 3 and a blue, by the way, for a star. As Ixidron enters the battlefield, turn all other non-token creatures face down. Ixidron's power and toughness are each equal to the number of face-down creatures on the battlefield.
Yeah, that part is completely irrelevant. What is relevant is that you're turning your opponent's commander to 2-2 morphs.
Yep.
That they can't face up.
But you most likely can.
You can turn most of your cards face up except for Kadeen, mm-hmm. which is your morph command. You can't up.
Oh no, you will block with a 2-2 and then you will cast your Kadeena back. Oh no.
But yeah, it's a really powerful effect to shut down your opponent's creatures.
It's especially effective if they are counting on like one or two big dudes to do the job. Guess what?
And not just that, if they have some passive effects that are really good or some die triggers.
Tess actually put it real well. Imagine casting Xydron against something like my Alesha. Your creatures stay basically the same size, some even get bigger, but now they do nothing.
Yeah, it's like silence in hearts. It just removes the text from a card.
Yeah. Kiki Jiki, he's still 2-2, but you know.
Does actually not.
Magus of the Moon, nah.
Yeah, still a 2-2 though.
He's a 2-2, but not doing a thing you want him to.
But I'm pretty sure that people are well aware of it.
Not sure that they are, because Xydron has been printed long.
Oh yeah, and
but
he wasn't reprinted.
Now, let's talk about the really badass daddy. Niksha, read this sexy guy.
What? I'm just kidding. Volrath the Shapes.
Nice.
2 and Sultai for a 7-5 legendary shapeshift. At the beginning of combat on your turn, put a -1/-1 count up to 1 target for 1 generic without the tap. Just pay 1. And until your next turn, Volrath the Shapes is a copy of target counter, except it's a 7-5 and it has...
Sheesh. First of all, 7-5 for 5 mana that shrinks your opponent's guy, real good. But then, it can become a thing. And there is so many counters running around the game, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
There is +1/+1, -1/-1. You have things like, you know, -0/-1. You have fate counters, you have level
charge
up, charge counter. There is a bunch of megamorphs, by the way, in this deck. You can copy those.
I mean, you wouldn't want to copy those, but...
Depending.
I mean, why is he called a shape stealer if he doesn't actually...
Because in storyline, he stole the shape of a couple of Weatherlight crew. What is the girl's name? I can't remember. Her father. There is a card from Tempest. There is a guy who has a blindfold over his eyes. Maybe you remember it. No. You just keep talking about the card. I'll remember it.
So, yeah, the -1/-1 at the start of combat is pretty okay for, you know, you can kill some dorks with that.
Mm-hmm.
You can nullify people's persist. And the becoming a copy of a creature, that's 7-5, is... It's good for copying, like... There's that Selkie that when it deals combat damage, you draw cards equal to the combat damage dealt.
Ooh.
There's also that card that your opponent discards cards equal to the damage dealt. And since it's just one, you can copy, have an invisible stalker that has a +1/+1 counter on it. That's be your best friend, because you attack with a 7-5 hexproof unblockable guy, and they're like, okay, I can't block, and they're like, haha, surprise, it has infect now.
You know what's also a really good friend with this card? Gwafa Hazid.
Yeah.
I will bribe your friend. And then, you know, I'll kill
Except that's a lot of colors.
It is, but I mean, saying if an opponent is playing Guafa, you can just be like, well, thanks for doing that. I'll keep on smacking it twice. Seven. Plus, it's nice to see actual villains from Magic's early history coming back. What's next? The Gift of Doom. For 4 and a black, it's an enchantment aura. Enchant creature. Enchant creature has Death Touch and Indestructible. It also has Morph. So you can guess this is a 2-2, you know, for 3 mana. Unmorphing is sacrifice another creature. And as the Gift of Doom is turned face up, you may attach it to a creature.
That's a combat trick.
It is.
But it's still an aura. And we all know how good auras are.
Yeah.
It's a sweet trick, though.
It's a sweet trick.
I like it.
It's especially good when they spend one of their few removal spells on this. Oh, I'll just sack this guy. Or even better, they go to kill your other guy. I'll just sack him. Look, this guy is much better now. Next up is a guy who makes me want there to be another card in the deck.
We have Vesuvan Shapeshifter, who has a very famous combo with...
Yep.
Also, there are a couple of reprints, so we're just gonna go through them. It's Trionic Resonator.
Which is cool.
Bane of the Living.
Also cool.
And Mistvale Raptor.
The jazz dancing snake.
Yes. Yeah,
slash
snake
dinosaur.
Raptor.
So these are the reprints, but we have a couple new cards.
Mm-hmm. So, wanna go over the snake?
The snake thing, you mean? Thieving Amalgam. For 5 and a black, it's a creature ape snake. First
so
of all, what the hell is that creature type? At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, you manifest the top card of that player's library. Not yours, you manifest their card. Whenever a creature you control but don't own dies, its owner loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. It can be, you know, the things you manifest, but it can also be the things you stole.
I like the first part of it. I really like the first part of Amalgam. It's really cool. Mm-hmm.
It's actually cool and fun as hell. How good is it gonna be because it's 7 mana? I'm not sure. You can scroll Fated and then actually blink it. That's a thing.
But you can, like, randomly get rid of their win condition.
Yeah.
Like this. Just like, okay, I have a 2-2 down there. So, what is it?
You know what would be fun? Dave Empiric Tutor. You're like,
oh,
okay, still end of my turn. I would like to, you know, more unmorph my guy that I manifest.
And they're like, okay, oh.
Oh no.
Oh no.
My ass.
Yeah, that's gonna be painful.
Ooh, I wanna do that. That sounds like a fun thing to do.
But alas, that's quite a hefty mana.
And now we have a fun guy.
Mm-hmm. So, Grismold, the Dread Sour, is a 1 green and a black for a 3/3 troll shaman legendary creature with trample. At the beginning of your end step, each player creates a 1/1 green plant creature. Whenever a creature token dies, put a +1/+1 counter on Grismold, the Dread Sour. Now, this is an interesting.
May I say that art looks kind of Eldraine-y?
I mean, it is kind of.
Yeah, so that might be actually a hint for the upcoming set. But the card itself.
Yeah, and the name is kind of fairy tale-ish. But the card itself, well, to be honest, among all the commanders spoiled thus far, this one seems the most interesting.
Yeah.
Because giving other people creatures, it is not a really common effect. So what I did was I went and dug up a couple of cards that could work really well with as a command. So we have cards such as Oath of Druids. So if you get to sacrifice your creatures, and, you know, just increase the amount of creatures they have, you can keep Oath of Druids working for you. Massacre Worm. Now this one I really like. The only problem is that Grismold doesn't give things fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
It does give things, but, you know, it has to go faster. So, while Massacre Worm might be a bit slow, you also have Malakir Callblade for 2 mana. It's a 1/1 with the exact same effect as Grismold. So, whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, you put a +1/+1 counter on it. So, you know, just a bit of value there. You have Maddening Imp. So, if you don't know, Maddening Imp is a 2 and a black creature imp flying from Tempest. Tap, non-wall creatures the active player controls, attack this turn if able. At the beginning of the next end step, destroy each of those creatures that didn't attack this. Activate this ability only during an opponent's turn and only before combat.
Also, if you're gonna go with expanding colors, let's say you're playing a crash deck. This guy's really fun in it. Mm-hmm. And if you have the General Varchild and those cards, what's the first card with Varchild? War Raiders, right? The one that just come with the upkeep, makes 1/1 survivors.
Yeah, then you can have a lot of fodder for Master.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going with this guy as our commander. So, okay, Maddening Imp makes them attack with those 1/1 guys, so you can get value out of them attacking with token.
If you just want to jank it out, you can play Engineered Plague and Naming Plant.
Yeah, but that's not cool enough.
I don't know.
That's not the point of them. I mean, okay, sure. He gets, like, at the end of your turn, he gets +4/+4. That's kind of okay.
Don't forget one thing. Eldrazi spawns and such things do count for this.
Also, there's Glissa the Traitor. So mm-hmm. There's that. You know, you want to have some 1/1 tokens. Defense of the Heart gets a bit easier to activate.
Super.
Uh-huh. Revel in Riches.
Oh my. But isn't Revel in Riches treasures and this just says creature tokens?
Well, Revel in Riches says whenever a creature an opponent controls dies.
Oh yeah, I was focused more on the treasures themselves.
No, you don't. You mean you get your treasures, but if you have Engineered Plague and Revel in Riches, that's end of turn you get 3 treasures.
I like that.
Toshiro Umezawa.
Yes, my homeboy.
So you have Toshiro Umezawa, that's also cool, you know, because you get those 1-1 guys you're gonna kill with random abilities, and, you know, easy Toshiro activation.
You mean all the flashbacks?
Yep. Word of Bones, just to give them more creatures so they can't actually play creatures they want. No, that doesn't work that way. Yaheni, obvious, because if you're gonna go kill them, kill their creatures, then, you know, Yaheni just becomes bigger and bigger. So yeah, it's a much better Malakir Kalblade.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Bloodseeker.
Thing you could add and blink a bit would be the Massacre Girl.
Massacre Girl is also good, but Massacre Girl then runs the risk of killing your command. So with Bloodseeker, they're gonna be losing some life. And for lastly but not least, Poison Tip Archer. Because giving them more creatures that give you more to kill them, well, more Poison Tip Archer stack. Because, you know, if you have Engineered Plague, and Engineered Plague is for each...
I think it is.
So, end of turn, each opponent loses 4 life.
That's okay.
That's like 12 damage. That's
cool.
That's decent.
Pretty decent.
So yeah, that's like starting point of Grismold deck, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just like the ability where it makes tokens for other people.
And if you actually Burning Pot those tokens, also he gets a bit bigger.
Yeah. See, yeah, the two sides of him is that it gives you sacrifice fodders, it gives your opponent sacrifice fodders, but the point is, you're benefiting sacrifice fodders.
I want to have a little random update about the Ixodron and Pickles combo. So, BDM, aka Brian David Marshall, was the guy who was given the Ixodron to, you know, show the public. And then he mentioned the Pickles combo, and then Sheldon replied with, I hate it not only for myself, but for a legion of other people that would like to, you know, participate in the game. I'm like, Sheldon, no. This is not why we play Pickles combo. Not for people to play the game. We just have it, you know, so that our opponents can chill out and we can have a nice breakfast with some pickles. Yum, yum. Tasty pickles. I actually like pickles. Not even mentioning the combo, I just like pickles. I want to eat pickles. I'm sorry. Anywho, let's go back to God.
Well, that's of the spoilers today.
Aww.
At least for our time zone, because they're probably gonna spoil the whole deck list today.
Oh,
for the soul type.
Yeah. I mean, I have like 2 more hours to go till my bus leaves. We can just sit here silently like 2 creeps.
Well, I will wait till midnight, sure. But
not like this.
But yeah, I think it's time for some final thoughts about the Commander precons, because here they are. They started, and let's see how they're faring compared to last year. So, what do you think?
They seem currently... Oh, a couple of more things actually did get spoiled. Keru Spell Snatcher, which is a reprint. Vraska from Return to Ravnica, reprint. Actually, new card. Apex Altisaur. For a 7 and a green, it's a 10-10 dinosaur. When he enters the battlefield, it fights up to 1 target creature you don't control. And Enrage, when it is dealt damage, it fights up to 1 target creature you don't control. Oh, fuck, this is a... Enrager. Holy moly.
I'm not seeing...
It is not. I just went to Magic TCG subreddit. Stratos Dancer also got spoiled.
Of course.
I think I said they were gonna reprint. Dem Protector and Komshlo Crab. And Trail of Mystery.
Expected.
Nantuko Vigilante. Do you remember that guy? It is a 3 and a green for a 3-2 Insect Druid Mutant. So you know it's Legions. It has morph for 1 and a green, and when it's turned face up, destroy target artifact enchantment. Actually on a K roll. And let's see the actual Wizards Academy, if that's it. Not Academy, Gallery. That's actually it, for the time being. Now, what did you want to say about the cards themselves?
So you don't want to start?
You start. You have actually more opinions than I do.
Okay, so my opinion is that, they haven't managed to actually hype me, because, I mean, first of all, the mechanics they chose are kind of boring by themselves.
Fuck you, Morph is not boring.
I mean, sure, Morph is not boring, but it kind of gets when...
I know what you're trying to say, I actually understand.
So Flashback isn't really a build around me mechanic. Flashback is like an additional good thing mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes things better. You don't build around the fact that you're going to flashback, because then somebody plays Rest in Peace and then your deck rests.
Hey.
Populate? Okay, sure. But okay, Gyared is a cool card. But if you're going to go in a dedicated populate deck, I think that the first Trostani is a better
choice. Yep.
So also for a flashback based deck, even though Sevin gives you double casts for spells, I think it's better to actually give flashback to cards you don't actually have flashback on, with cards like Kess.
Kess is a stronger general.
And if you wish to abuse morphs, you play Animar. But if you wish to use, like, a value engine, then, okay, Cadena is a better choice.
Out of all the commanders we've currently seen, I think Cadena is actually, just for the job it needs to do.
Well, I just dislike the fact that all of these commanders are just worse than some others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, Anya Falkenrath, there is nothing really to compare it to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can't really say it's worse or better than something. So,
Anya lives in a niche of her own.
Mm-hmm. So, the secondary commanders for Sultai, again, I mean, Rayami is just, he doesn't do anything.
Yep.
Volrath, okay, he can copy spells, but, he can copy creatures, but, I mean, that was never really something that, you know, you're really trying to.
If you're gonna actually, you know, if you're gonna go and won't copy creatures, in those colors, maybe Mimeoplasm is a better choice.
Mimeoplasm, or, you know, use, or if you wanna copy their stuff, but a bit better, then you have, the first Lazav.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can mill people and then make Blazav a good creature out of their cards.
Mm-hmm.
So, Grismold is the only one that does something, like, a bit differently. Something new.
Yep.
And that's why I like him the most. While these others, I mean, okay, yeah, sure, Gerard is interesting,
Gerard is cool.
But again, we didn't see the deck. So
Gerard, I'm not even focusing on him deck-wise, what comes with him. He's just build me standalone kind of a guy. So that's, I mean, not even regarding him in regards of scene and ending. Because the things he needs, you actually need to make the deck from scratch.
Yeah, pretty much.
They just put him in so they could actually put Gerard in. And that's it.
Also, remember that that thing they keep on repeating? Like, yeah, we heard you about the reprint part, so we're going to do better reprints? I mean,
we got a Thespian stage, and an Exodron, and a Astronic Resonator.
The Astronic Resonator, which went up in price, but still, it's like a 2 euro card, and that's not a value, really.
A card I like was Zubin Shapeshifter, not that it was ever expensive, but... Yeah.
Okay, Mistfell Raptor was like 15 euros
when
it was legal in Standard.
In 2016.
Yes.
Seedborn Muse.
Got reprinted a lot.
It's still an expensive card.
Not really that expensive.
I wasn't gonna shell out money for that. Tess really wanted the card, but I really want to shell out that money.
Yeah, it's gonna get a bit cheap.
Yep, and if it's in the Sultai deck, which I plan to get for the pre-release anyway, I'm gonna get it, and I'll most likely be like, yo, Tess, here, the Silver Muse.
Also, why Vraska?
I am not sure.
Why
actually...
Of all possible green-black planeswalkers, why Vraska? I mean, okay, this? Sure, the other green-black planeswalkers are... the transforming Garruk, and they're not gonna do that for obvious reasons, because they're just not gonna put transform.
Give me the big
or the big Garruk. Like, that card is in dire need of a reprint.
No, I'm in a dire need of that card. I want to play it.
Like, people are in dire need of that card. That card's expensive.
That card isn't actually, let's face it, it's not actually that good.
It's, well, not that much, but it works really well in a casual environment.
But do you want to play that big stupid spell? Because I want big stupid spell.
Yes, you do. If you're gonna play Thieving Amalgam, you want to play Garruk, Apex Predator. So that's like my main question. Why isn't Garruk Apex Predator here? I mean, he fits, he fits the theme a lot better than Vraska. I mean, what does Vraska do with the deck? It doesn't. She doesn't do anything.
Doesn't do diddly squat.
I mean, they could have at least put Vraska, the Golgari Queen.
Ooh, that's a big
actually,
one.
She actually does something. She sacrifices your guys that Thieving Amalgam brings.
Oh, yeah.
She actually does something in this color combination that is, like, good. Like, it works with Mistvale Raptor, because if I remember correctly, Mistvale Raptor returns cards from graveyard, or it returns itself. What is it? it gets back when you play a morph, right? Or when you turn... No, when you turn a card face up.
Which card?
A Mistvale Raptor.
Whenever your thing gets turned face up.
It gets back.
Yes, it gets
so
back.
So there you go. It's a sec out. It's a sec fodder.
Mm-hmm.
And this Vraska does nothing. She makes tokens. And that's her ultimate. Her plus one does, like, literally nothing.
She badly vindicates for minus three and that's it.
Like, it's like the worst green-black planeswalker they could have put in the deck. I mean, next up for the Madness deck, they're gonna put in Tybalt from Innistrad. What would be good is if they put Sarkhan Fireblood in.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a really cool, now that's a good reprint of a card that's not that old, but I mean, who cares? Why wouldn't you put standard legal cards in Commander?
If they're good, why not?
Because Sarkhan Fireblood does everything you want in Madness. I mean, bottom line, the Dareti does it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're probably gonna put Tybalt, let's be real. So, they're not delivering us any interesting Commander gameplay. Like, okay, Sevine, but, you know, I find her interesting because of the unkillable build, not because of the flashback build. Geared is just like, it does what it does, the same thing that Naya does, it just... It's a stompy deck.
Smack.
So I'm kind of disappointed so far. I'll see to grab one deck at least, but I really hope that they step up their game because this is nothing they actually promised.
I'm still looking forward to the morphs, as I said in the beginning, but we really need to see other spoilers. I'm still keeping my hopes up because the deck itself actually seems much more better streamlined than last year's decks, especially, you know, Lord of Windgrace.
Oh, I mean, they definitely... Okay, the Sultai one seems better made than last year because last year's they just didn't make sense. They were just piles.
Ignore things like, you know, Volrath and the Green Vampire. You generally have a good way to steer the deck.
Yeah, you have a lot of... Like, they said, okay, the theme is Morph. What do? Put a lot of Morph cards in.
Nice.
So, good job. You nailed the theme. It's not like... It's not that hard. You say, it's gonna be Land Matters deck. And then you put in three Land Matters cards in. That's not how you make a deck. What? And that just has me worried that... I don't really care that much if the decks are bad, because last year's decks were bad, I still got two of them, but if they're bad again, and if people still start to complain even more, because as Gavin said, they listen to us about the no reprints deck, and they're stepping their game up. This is not stepping up a game. Like, this is not acceptable, what we so far, for, you know, a higher... cost of decks for, like, legit no reason. They just raised the price and lowered the count of, like, from 5 to 4 and still kept the same price as if there were 5 decks.
Yeah.
Like, that's borderline scummy because mm-hmm. you're abusing faithful customer. They'll buy it no matter what because, like, Magic is the best game in the world, but, you know, they're really pushing their luck. Because if they continue like this, they're gonna discontinue the Commander deck precons because they weren't very popular. It's not because they weren't popular, it's because they make bad decks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm worried. I mean, sure, we don't have to get a Snapcaster in every deck, but something of worth would be okay.
But not too much worth, so the actual Legacy players steal it up. We don't want actually another True Name Nemesis situation.
That's because they made a new card that was in just one deck that everybody mm-hmm. wanted. But reprinting cards, that's completely fine. If they make same level of quality reprints in all decks, then there's no problem.
If they put in Snappy, people will just snatch the deck up, and you know it.
I know, but honestly, it's their problem, and they can fix it, like, very easy. This is legit Wizards' problem, that this is a problem in general.
I know.
This should not be happening. They should be able to put in good cards in a deck and still make other decks sell. It just happens that it's a messed up, and it's completely their fault. I'm not even saying this from like a competitive standpoint. I'm just saying this from a completely just fun gameplay point.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing interesting about these commanders. Like, compared to first year, the first ever commanders.
Oh god.
The first ever commanders, those were all amazing. They're fantastic.
Even 2013, even though those commanders were basically a mistake, they were still interesting and cool.
I mean, even though, yeah, okay, some things are mistakes, but those things keep the game...
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to power creep these. They just have to make them interesting. Like I said, Grismold is not power creep. He's
nope.
A completely fine card, but he's somehow interesting to brew around because he has a mechanic that, you know, we don't see very often.
Or at all.
Yeah, giving other people stuff. And not just giving, just creating so you're not actually the owner of those cards.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm a bit disappointed so far. We'll see how the rest of the decks pan out. I'm not gonna jump to conclusions and say that this is worse than here, because I highly doubt that worse than last year isn't really a thing.
You really need to snork a lot of coke and not do a lot of work to make it worse than last year.
Yeah, last year was like literally that. They felt like last minute decks. It was like, hey guys, we have to make commander decks for next month. Oh,
give it to Jimmy. He's an intern. He'll do it.
Yeah, sure. Give it to that one. He plays a lot of Commander in his shop. So let's give it to him.
No, guys. I play Warhammer, not Commander. Yeah, you can still do it.
Good enough. Warhammer, Commander.
I just came to be the IT guy. Okay, guys. Then he went to MTG Salvation and checked out the post from 2014. Who is this guy?
That's my take on these Commanders. Let's hope it gets a lot better.
But we still have, you know, three other decks to see, and the deck list for this one and for those as well.
Yeah, but I would really like it if all decks were really cool, and not just, like, two out
one.
Of four.
Yeah.
Or one out of four. Oh my god, just not...
Because if I have the selection, and maybe we will, we still don't know the rules for a tournament, I would like to take the Sultan one.
Yeah, I'll still wait for all the...
I like Morph.
I don't dislike Morph, I just don't... care.
It's a janky dumb mechanic in LA.
But I will be working on the unkillable build. And
is there anything else we need to do? I think we've exhausted everything that was supposed to be done.
Yeah, we did. I just refreshed the page, nothing new. Okay.
Nope. But yeah, this has been episode 99 of the Elder Dragon podcast.
So next up is the Commander. The Commander episode.
Yep, we'll have to see if we actually do all the C19 stuff or we do something special, but we have like 2 weeks to think it out.
Yeah, we'll do something.
That's a problem for future selves. This has been episode 99, and as always, the Emperor protects.
Well, obviously not from bad reads. Oh, ayo!
Keep it positive and make sure keep it.
My brothers has been swallowed by the crowds. Unbelievable, insatiable thirst, the lines break. Tide swats and rushes forth, my arms shake. I am swallowed by the storm surge. But I will turn from this, we will emerge from this. Ignore the creeping dread that slid us up our spines from this. Yet I'm the final dirge. Hear me! I command a standard, so we'll stand and face a chaos scourge. I count the days as to come, turn to a month now. Still with perseverance we raise the body count. Just as the pangs of pain, know that I know your face. You'll know mine when every death is repaid. Burning bastions sanctioned by your chaplains. Line up every sight while I align the battlements. 10,000 lights burn out in a blink. With a star I stand prepared to hold before this brink of the precipice. One light to wind with disaster. Try the funeral song. One reason that you hold on. Show me the war, master. And the those I thought were my brothers. After the box and the fold, the Yadmans I time now hold. We hid ourselves in the dark, foundation shook. Step out of the sunlight till we emerge. Luna wolves, now we wait on our haunches. Coiled, soon I will find my vengeance. Gets a despoiled, I can't forget the sight of their becoming poison. Suffering immaterial death, fate unavoidable. Knife meets back, this brother meets bloodshed. Return to give the devil tapping to the serpent's head. Backstabber, turn go, chain of command failures. Minute to lower swords as it cuts through your defenses. Titans again and not in our favor. My forces face the death, but not once do they waver. And as the palace is breached, I'll take what I can reach. Aim for Avedon's throat. Your life is beyond reproach. By the despicable's hand, our hope is scattered like sand. And every outcome I wanted sits above the unhaunted. Should have kept deeper still, burying my grave to fill. Soon I will have all your heads. You should have said I was dead. And I can still see their faces. Their trusting look led astray. Only blood can amend this.